Today's teaching, Holy Ghost wants to talk about what he's calling the lost disciples. And we're not talking about the tribe of Israel, one of the 12 tribes of the patriarchs. We're talking about disciples, modern-day disciples, that are his and live their lives as if they are lost, as if they are still in the world, as if they still are in desperation, as if their needs will not be met, and as if they need others more than they need him. As there are many dividing lines in the church at this time, between the bride and the whore, the apostate church, which is also the whore, and the true body, there are many people that are getting deceived that are the true bride, and they are floundering. Because they seek not him, but they seek others to resolve their issues. Now, either Jesus Christ paid the price for all our sin, all our pain, all our anguish, all our hurt, or he didn't. If he did, he said we are to be dead to sin and alive to him. We're to reckon ourselves dead. What does that mean when Paul says that in Romans 6? Reckon yourself dead to sin. What does that mean? Do we belong to those things that even were done to us? It includes that. It's not just reckon yourselves dead to sin, don't perform sin, participate in sin. It means the sin that was done to you does not belong to you anymore. It's not yours. It's not your identity. It's not who you are. And it's certainly not who he paid for you to be. What's happening is people are focusing on what they call their brokenness or their hurt, as if that has greater impact, greater importance, and dominates them more than their relationship with God himself. And although it may sound like a hard word, it seems like people do not want to give up on pain. But why? Why is pain so seductive? Who's helping us to believe that that's what we need to do? We need to undergo whatever amount of therapy or process or years of cleansing or healing in order to be set free. That is what the world does, believers. The world does that. The world goes into psychoanalysis. The world goes into therapy. The world does cognitive psychology. The world analyzes pain and the past. Do you want to be like the world? Then you will live like the world and you will see him even through the eyes of the world. This isn't about disliking what some people might teach or preach. This is about people's relationship with God himself. And if a believer knows the Holy Spirit in a personal way, and they can walk and talk with him and commune with him, they should be able to yield to him so that whatever is happening in their lives, we have trials, we have difficulties, we have pain, we have people abuse us, we have disappointment. We're not pretending. He's certainly not saying that that doesn't occur, but he's saying, who do you go to when that happens? Do you go seek out somebody else who says they know they have the special word from God? Or do you come to him directly who lives in you? Because it's a choice, believers. And we can demand particular methods, and we can think that someone else has the answer, and we can run all and sundry to different people and find out that we are missing what he's given us already. And what a tragedy. Again, when there's something like, I think the amount is 22,000 children a day are dying. But people are still stuck in their past, and they are believers. That's why he's calling this the lost disciples. Now, when he spoke to the disciples, and when he said to them, when they wouldn't understand what he said, when they doubted him, he wasn't tender about it. He chastened them out of love because he knew who he was calling them to be. He would say, how long do I have to suffer with you? How long do I have to put up with you? Why did you doubt? Why do you have such little faith? That's what he said to Peter when Peter was the one who walked out of the boat and walked on water with Jesus when he fell because he started doubting and getting frightened and didn't trust. Jesus didn't go, oh, I'm so proud of you. You went 5 or 6 steps. I'm amazed. You're an amazing disciple. He said, why do you have such little faith? Why do we think Jesus isn't the same today? That he's all gushy and tender and he's only going to tell us the nice things we want to hear? And that means he loves us? No. If a parent did that to you, only told you all the nice things, never disciplined you, never relinquished certain privileges that you had because of your behavior, never taught you right from wrong, what kind of a parent would we say they were? A terrible parent. Well, God is anything but that. We, as disciples of Jesus, are the ones that are to preach the good news, to heal the sick, to set the captives free. We're not to be the ones that need to be set free. We were set free, so we can set free. When we have a problem, when we have an illness, this isn't about condemning people as it's been accused. People have been accused, oh, you're condemning me. No, no, no. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk according to the Spirit, not walk according to the flesh. If you walk according to the flesh, you are going to condemn yourself. You're going to feel condemned because you know you're not walking according to His Spirit and His truth and His way. It's not someone else doing it. When He says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to preach the good news to the poor, who are the poor? Us, believers, who've been given everything? The kingdom of heaven is within us? We've been given all manner of things, the blood of Jesus, His Word, His Spirit, eternal life. How are we the poor? Why are we acting like we're poor and disheveled and orphans? Especially once we know that His Spirit not only resides and abides in us, but we can commune with Him, God Himself within us. We have to stop pretending. Now, the choice is we love ourselves and our pain more than we love Him. We don't want to hear that because that seems harsh. But that is the truth. Jesus said it the same way. Let the dead bury the dead. The man wanted to bury his father, for crying out loud. We would think that's pretty hard. It's not just the time he was in the temple and he turned over tables because the Pharisees were making money off the money changers, and the money changers were making money off the people coming in buying animals, as well as the people who tended the animals making money. That wasn't the only thing. That wasn't what he was talking about, their hearts. He wants our hearts. Not our mouths, not our lip service, not our telling everybody else how much we love Him. And behind the scenes, all we do is seek someone else out who can help heal us. Why? Who can heal us? Only Him. Only Him. Not another human being. If you're looking for someone to heal you, you will be sorely disappointed because they don't do the healing anyway. And they cannot substitute for God. No matter how many people we look to other than Him. We've got to realize who we're insulting, who we're grieving, who we're hurting. God, who made us, who died for us, who rose for us, and who now lives in us. That's the one. Why do we get worried about what other people think about us, one way or the other? We all have this. That's another issue of being a lost disciple. Oh, what do they think of me? Did I do the right thing? Oh, maybe I said something too harsh. Oh, maybe I should have said it like this. Oh, maybe I better do this rather than that because they didn't like what I did. Rather than going, Lord, are you pleased with me? You are? Well, then I'm pleased too. But we live so much for others. We live for ourselves and others, and we need to be honest about it. That's what a lost disciple does. Jesus said to His disciples in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Jesus is warning His disciples that you be careful what you listen to. And the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. How do we measure what people say Do we love what they say more than what he says? Do we love our feelings and our pain and our past and our abuse more than we love his freedom? He says, for whoever has to him, more will be given. This is in verse 25. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Is that the kind of disciple we want to end up being? A lost disciple who has what he was given originally is taken from him? We don't want to believe this about God. We still have this, well, some believers do, this cotton candy version of God. Jesus is like this. Holy Spirit does that. He never is mean. They never tell me off. Well, if you're doing something wrong and they're not telling you off, they are not honoring you, let alone their righteousness. It isn't our judgment. How we see things is so skewed unless we're willing to see through his eyes. And we have to ask that. We have to say to him, Holy Spirit, I'm not seeing clearly because I'm in misery or torment. So that's obviously not from you. What's causing it? Is it my beliefs are wrong? Is it that I am with the wrong company and they are causing me to not see right? Is it that I'm stubborn? Afraid? What's happening? Is it that I don't trust you? Whatever it is, reveal it to me so I can be set free. We have to humble ourselves before his mighty hand. It is amazing when you are honest with God what triumph you will have. Far greater than just following rules. Far greater than finding someone, another person who's going to help you. Maybe they can help you. Maybe they won't let you go. Maybe they will stay through the hard times. Instead of being honest with him and laying yourself bare before him. So what is not of him can be taken. And he can augment what is of him. Like he says in Mark. That for whoever has to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have even that he has will be taken away from him. We cannot play games with God and think and blame others because we're not getting our way, or it's not happening in our timing, or we determine that they've let us down. There are so many people that think people have let them down, when it's they themselves that have let themselves down. Or they think God has let them down. And we've all done it. We've all had trials of faith. We've all been sifted by the enemy. That's when we ask for his help. Lord, my shield of faith is obviously very flimsy here. Strengthen it. I need strengthening. So that those fiery darts that I'm believing do not touch me. And the other thing is, the enemy is in a very huge campaign to divide the body. He's always been in that campaign. It's been a war from the beginning of the church. And he is on the rampage because his time is short. So he will make people that were formerly loyal, formerly trusted, suddenly seem like the enemy. Because if he can do that, he can pull you away as a lost lamb and take you off where the wolves can devour you. Telling you that the one that was helping you before is the wolf. That's how deceptive he can be. And he can do it through people. He can do it through misinterpretation of scripture. He can do it through your own selfish lusts. You want to hold on to the lust of the flesh, including doubt, fear, worry, let alone fornicating, overeating, and whatever else. There's a lot of lust of the flesh. But even the lust of the flesh is also how we feel and what we do with those feelings. Feelings themselves aren't lust, but what do we do with them? If we feel despair, do we start blaming other people and throwing arrows their way? Or do we go to him and say, Lord, you're the only one who can comfort me. Holy Spirit, you're my comforter. Comfort me. This hurts. Who do we trust? Who do we really trust? Can we get down to brass tacks and be honest? I don't trust you, God. I'm scared. This is never going to work out. I'm still hurting from the past. And nobody wants to help me. Is that the truth? Or is the truth that he lives in you, and if you want to be healed and you want to be set free, it's now. Because he already did it. we have to remember that there are tares among the wheat. And we can have people in our lives that appear like Christians, act like Christians, talk like Christians, and may even walk to some degree like Christians, at least perhaps in a limited way where when we're observing, perhaps not in their own home, perhaps not in their usual day, but from what we might see on a online status, if that's where we're knowing the person, for what we might see in a workplace setting, or even in the church, we might go, well, they seem like a really lovely Christian. But this is what he says. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. This is Matthew 13:24. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, An enemy has done this. The servants said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Which is saying to us, and this is in the natural as well, that wheat and tares, there are certain weeds that can grow right alongside wheat and look exactly like wheat in the natural, until the actual bud comes at the end when it's harvest time. You cannot tell the difference. So you cannot go out there and cut down all the tares, because it may be wheat that you're cutting. And it's the same in the church, in the body of Christ. The tragedy is this. Often we will be close to people that we believe are Christians. We believe are sincere. We believe or want to yield to Him. But when the harvest time comes for them, that's often when they have usually it's when things become harder than hard. There's a trial. There's a tribulation in their life they can't handle. There is something the enemy is sending, and it's overwhelming. Those that are his will just push into him as far as they can go, even if they're angry with him, even if they feel disappointed, even if they think he lied. They will go to him with it, not everybody else. They'll go to him and straighten that relationship out with him, because only he and them can do that. Those who appeared as if they were his will not only go to others. I mean, we can all do that. We can all go to others sometimes, and then we have to be chastened to stop it if we're his. He'll chasten us if we're his. If we're not his, he's going to let you go. Do whatever it is you want. So we should be, hallelujah, rejoicing when we get chastened. That means I'm his. When I get a kick up the backside, I'd much prefer that than to run down like a lemming over the cliff. It might hurt, it might smart, it might be embarrassing, but I know I'm his. And I know he cared enough to do it. So sometimes we're going to be amongst the tares, thinking that they're wheat, thinking that they're his, and they may misuse us, abuse us, taunt us, slander us later, basically become very close and know the inside outs of our lives and then use that against us. All that can happen. What are we going to do when that happens? We can't cut them down. We can't say, oh, you're a Christian and you're not. It says, you can't tell. I mean, we do have discernment. We can tell people who are not Christians at all. But there are many that are, if they're sown in there for a purpose, that Satan sends them in so that we get confused, we get waylaid, we get distracted from being about our Father's business. That's the whole point of this. And then we get wounded, and then we're suffering for a while, and we have to get to a place where we can actually walk again. We take that pain to Him. We don't go to all and sundry to try to get somebody to heal us. We say, Holy Spirit, you're my comforter. I need you. I've been betrayed again. Or I've been used again. Or I've been abused again. We don't make it a production or an issue for the other rest of the body to take care of, because they can't. It's impossible for them to fix you. Only he can transform you from glory to glory into the image of Christ. Why are we asking brothers and sisters to make us okay? Those are lost disciples that do that. Oh, please, you fix me. You make it all right. You be with me. Let me call you any time of day and night. Oh, you be there. We cannot expect that of other believers. We can expect it of him because guess what? 24/7, he is there in us, always available, no matter what. And it's high time we start actually cultivating a real relationship with him, because you can have such a relationship with him that even when you're angry with him and you're venting your little guts out, he's still there. He doesn't run off. You get it all off your chest. You talk to him honestly and in the most forthright way, and you will come to a place, not an impasse, a place of you've passed through it and you've gotten closer to him. And you know he is absolutely trustworthy no matter what. And you have got faith that's more precious than gold. Is that not what we want? So let us not be lost disciples, but those who seek the lost and bring the kingdom of God to them.